in the time that I've been here, which is since 1989, we've always done our baptisms off-site, which meant that we either had to go to another local church, First Baptist in Northeast often let us use their baptistry, or we went to someone's swimming pool and did it then. I think before my time, anyone baptized in Reisler's Pond? One is very excited about it. Still has the snapping turtle connected to her foot. But that's what we used to do. And, you know, it was great because I'm going to talk a little bit about baptism this morning. But it's a very joyful time, you know, and it's tremendous. And what baptism is designed, I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. I'm sort of stealing my own thunder. But baptism is a public expression of faith. And so as I thought about it, I thought, you know, being a public expression of faith, we just because of circumstances, not because anybody was trying to, but we sure made it awful hard on people to come and celebrate with those being baptized because it was right after the service usually. And if you have young kids, you know how they are. They want to get home and eat or they want to get home and sleep. And that says nothing about football in the afternoons and all that kind of stuff. So we're aware of that. And we thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could find a way to have a baptism during one of the morning services and really celebrate that. And so we found a company online that made this thing, and for the first time anyway, it's holding water. And I drove over here three times yesterday just to check, and we put the heater in it, and it said that when it's operating on 120 volts, I know nothing about this stuff, but that you could expect a 1 degree per hour increase, and it was 11 o'clock in the morning yesterday when we put it in there. And so I was calculated 24 degrees. It was 60 coming out of the tap, the 84. Well, the thing worked great, and it was 90 last night when I came here and checked. So I turned it down, and then when I came in this morning, I turned it back up, and it was still 90. It's probably down a little bit now, but I promised heated water, and we have heated water. So I'm really glad that you're here today because, you know, we're here on a very special Sunday. And it's for a very specific and a very exciting reason. Now, if you come next week, I did want to remind you that next week is the week that we touch our clocks. We fall back a week, right? Or a week, listen to that. We fall back an hour. So next week, before you go to bed on Saturday night, turn your clocks back. I had that note, and I forgot to tell you that already. But we are here for a very special and exciting reason today. And you can tell we're here to baptize these 10 people who are looking to obey God and to take another step forward in their walks with Christ. And this is a big step for them. I remember my baptism very vividly and very clearly. I was 18 or 19 years old, and I had just become a Christian my senior year in high school, and somebody cared enough about me to invite me to their youth group. And I heard the gospel message there for not the first time, but for the first time when I really understood it and made a commitment to Christ. And I was told that the next thing that you do is you get baptized. It's just the next step in your faith. And so I arranged it with the pastor, who's a really good friend of mine now. He's retired and lives in Montana, Pastor Frank. And he said, no problem. It was me and one other person that were going to get baptized that day. And they had a fancy baptismal tank with steps going down each side and a heater and a circulator and all that kind of stuff. He got it all ready, and we got there Sunday morning, and he checked the temperature, and it wasn't 90. It was whatever it was coming out of the tap, because apparently the heater malfunctioned, and so he gave us the choice. We can either go through with it, or we can delay it, and I chose to go through with it. So I remember it very clearly, you know. It was frigid, and it was good, and you know, we all have those kinds of memories like that. And so hopefully this will be memorable for you as well. I don't know what your experience has been, but I hope that if you have been baptized, that it's something that you can look back to with fond memories. We talk about what's an appropriate age for someone to be baptized, and that's kind of a hard thing. As long as they know Jesus as their Savior, it's okay to baptize them. But we want it to be something that's memorable, something that you can look back to with good memories. And so whether you were baptized outside in a swimming pool or in a pond or in a river. When I was in Israel, there were people that were baptized in the Jordan River. That was interesting. But whatever the case, or maybe you were baptized inside in an official baptismal tank like we'll be using today. But whatever, I hope that you're able to look back on your baptism with really good memories. And I hope that baptism for you has been sort of one of those mile markers along the way in your walk with Jesus that lets you know you're going in the right direction. We talked about this as we have been developing vision for our church, and we've talked about long-range plans, and we've talked about mid-range plans, and those mid-range plans are kind of like when you're going through the desert, it's just nice to see a flag that says you're on course, because if you looked all the way out on the horizon, it's hard to know where to go, right? Baptism is kind of like that. It lets you know that you're on course. It's kind of like a confidence marker on a trail run, which is what I often do. Just seeing that blaze or that ribbon lets you know, hey, you're on track, you're doing well, right? But I know that there are probably some here today that have never been baptized, and so I just want to take a few moments to explain briefly exactly what we'll be doing here today. What we really need to understand this morning is that baptism is what I've said already. It is a step of obedience. It's a step of obedience for those who have already put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And I want to say this as plainly and as clearly as I possibly can this morning, but baptism does nothing to save us. It does nothing to somehow improve our standing before God. God doesn't look at us and say, oh, he got baptized, I have to love him more than I love someone. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. Paul told us that we're saved how? We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, not by our own good works. That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, if we're honest, we would all have to admit that we are sinners. I don't think there's anyone here this morning that would say, you know what? I'm racking my brain. I can't think of one thing that I've ever done wrong. Can't think of one way that I've ever disappointed God. Can't think of one thing that's ever gone against what I know is right. There are very few who would admit or would claim somehow to be perfect, because that would require a pretty high view of ourselves, wouldn't it? To say that somehow I'm perfect, well, you know, that's a pretty high view. This is what Romans 3:23 tells us. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. There's probably not too many people that you would have to argue that with, because we didn't have to learn that. We sort of knew that already. You know, when mom's not looking and you can just barely reach the cookies, you're going to take one, right, when she's not looking. We didn't have to be taught how to sin. The Apostle Paul, in the first half of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, said this: the wages of sin is death. If you sin, that's what you'll get paid. The payment for sin is death. And in the scripture, what that means is separation. Death simply means separation. And so the wages of sin is death, meaning eternal separation from God. But Paul tells us in the second half of that same verse, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He didn't say eternal life is trying as hard as you can in this world and sort of leaving it to chance. He didn't say eternal life is trying to make the scales of justice go in your favor. No, he said eternal life is the gift of God, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, because Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price for the sins of people, just like you and me. He went there for that reason, to pay the price for the sins of people, just like you and me. He was the perfect sacrifice for sins. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to make ourselves more lovable before God. But God loved us that much. He loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for sinners, for people just like you and me. And so how do we make that sacrifice, the sacrifice that Jesus made, how do we make that ours? Scripture is very clear. Simply by believing, by trusting in what Jesus did on the cross as the payment for our sins. We turn from our sins and we turn to God. That's called repentance. We're going in one direction. We turn from that direction to walk in another direction. That's repentance. We turn from our sins and we trust what Jesus did on the cross as the payment for our sins. John told us this in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the most famous verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, has everlasting life, which is just another way of saying that we have a life of fellowship with God and not a life of separation from God. Based on what? Based on how good a person I am? Based on all the good deeds that I've done? No. Based on what Jesus did on the cross, he bled and suffered and died. He gave his life as the perfect sacrifice for sins for people like you and me. And that is the place that each of these folks who are about to come and be baptized today have already come to. They have, all of them, because I've listened to all of their stories, all of them at some point in their lives, some from a long, long time ago, and others only very recently, but they all have repented of their sins and they've trusted Jesus to save them. Now, you're going to hear about their journey of faith because each one of them has recorded a video. And as we're getting in and out of the tank this morning, those videos are going to play. And so you're going to hear a little bit about each of their journeys of faith and a little bit about the reason why they want to be baptized. But if baptism doesn't save us, then just what does it do? What is baptism? And there's a few things that I'd like to make it clear this morning. First of all, baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. It's an outward sign of an inward grace. Baptism is a public proclamation. These people today are saying, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. And I want everyone to know that, and I'm going to follow him through the waters of baptism. Baptism is like a sign of association. And so, having gone through the waters of baptism, we associate ourselves with Jesus. We're saying to the world, I belong to Jesus, and I want everybody to know it. It's a public profession of faith. Being baptized is saying to the world publicly that I have decided to follow Jesus. Not only have I decided to follow Jesus, but I'm not ashamed of it either. That's why on the back of the shirts it says, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's what this is all about today, right? We talked a few weeks ago about being proud of people. And so often that the idea of pride is a negative thing. But we are proud of these folks today in a good way, in the same way that Paul was proud of those Thessalonian people because they were continuing to walk with the Lord. We are so proud of them this morning. And it doesn't do anything to save us. But it's a public proclamation of the fact that we believe in Jesus, that we have been saved by what he did on the cross many, many years ago. Baptism is not only an outward sign of an inward grace, but it's also an act of obedience. Baptism is an act of obedience. Jesus commanded his disciples not only to make disciples, but to do what? To baptize those disciples, just as we're going to do today, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It was a command. Jesus said, make disciples and baptize them. Peter commanded baptism to those who were newly saved in Acts chapter 2. Peter also commanded baptism again to several new converts that were in Acts chapter 10. Baptism is a command that we're expected to obey. I don't know how to say it more plainly than that. It's an outward sign of an inward faith, but it's also an act of obedience. Thirdly, this morning, baptism is symbolic. Baptism is symbolic. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 tells us this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so when the person in just a few minutes is immersed down into the water, it paints a beautiful picture of death, of dying to self, of dying to our sins, of being buried with him in baptism. And when they come up out of that water, it's like we sang this morning about the resurrection of Jesus. Because he lives, we too can live. It paints a beautiful symbolic picture of being raised with Jesus to newness of life. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus has already done for us in his death on the cross and in his subsequent resurrection. But as I was thinking about this, and especially, I remember getting baptized when I was a senior in high school. But the last thing that I thought about in terms of baptism is that it's humbling. Baptism is humbling, right? In just a few minutes, each of these candidates is going to come forward, and they're voluntarily going to get into this water, And they're going to allow us to dunk them all the way under the water. And all of you are going to be watching. And they're going to come up. And there's going to be water coming out of holes in their heads where it shouldn't normally be coming out of, right? And their hair, especially the ladies, sorry, the hair is going to be plastered to their head. And in a sense, completely drenched clothing, you know, little disoriented when you come up out of the water, all that kind of stuff. Maybe looking worse than they ever had. Sorry, ladies. Maybe not. But they're going to allow themselves to undergo that in public. To say that I belong to Jesus. It's humbling. You don't come to baptism with a proud spirit. You come to the waters of baptism saying, Jesus, I belong to you. And I want to follow you no matter what the cost might be. If it means looking silly in front of a few hundred people this morning, so be it. I'm willing to humble myself to that point. Why would people subject themselves to such humiliation? Because they've decided to follow Jesus and they're not ashamed of it. Regardless of the cost, regardless of the humiliation, regardless of what's asked of them, they have decided to follow Jesus. So I'm not sure where you stand today in your relationship with Christ. I want to just say that if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, that I would encourage you to, in the best way that I know how, to repent of your sins and to say yes to what Jesus has already done for you. Put your faith and trust in Him. Put your faith not in yourself, not in your own ability to get the job done, but in what Jesus has done for you on the cross so long ago to pay the price for those sins. Sins in the past, sins of the present, and sins moving on into the future. See, I remember waiting a long time, what seemed like a long time to me, to actually make that decision to trust Jesus. But the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. Chapter 6 and verse 2. He said, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Why let another day go by without having that confident assurance that when you die, there won't be separation from God. There will be glorious fellowship with God. Because of what He did for you on the cross. Put your faith and trust in Christ today. Talk to someone before you leave. Maybe the person you came with. Maybe someone that's standing here in the front after the service. But don't leave this morning without doing business with God. He loves you so much. He loved you that much that He gave His one and only Son for you. If you're a believer this morning and you've already done that, you've already committed your heart and your life to Christ, put your faith in Him. I hope that today is going to be a day of great celebration with each and every one of these folks. Get a little rowdy, you know. Applaud for these people. A hoot or a holler would not be off base, right? The Lord is what it's all about this morning. And following Him through the waters of baptism. God loves you so much. Let's rejoice in what He's doing in the lives of these people. Around here, we like to say that we celebrate our victories, and that's what we're doing today. We're celebrating our victories. And we say to each one of these who are being baptized today with an unmistakably loud voice, this is what we say to them today. We are so proud of you. And I want to encourage you to keep walking with Jesus. We just looked at that passage in 1 Thessalonians 3, where all Paul wanted to know about those Thessalonian believers was, are they still walking with Jesus? And when Timothy came back with the report and said, yeah, they're doing great. They're walking with Jesus. They're reaching others. What did he say? Paul was able to say, now I really live to know about your testimony of faith in Christ. Let's celebrate with these who are about to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Can you imagine the impact that we can have? And I know this is happening already to a certain degree, but imagine the impact that we can have as we, who are the disciples of Christ, the disciples of Jesus, will unashamedly go to be salt and light in the places and in the circumstances that God puts us in every single day, rubbing shoulders with people, every single day. And he's put us there for a specific reason. Let's celebrate this morning as we come to the waters of baptism and rejoice with these people who today are going to say, I have decided to follow Jesus.